1, 67 through 80. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and in forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel.
Thank you very much, Colin. Can we give Colin a round of applause, please? He did a great job. I love seeing young people like me serving in a church because we're probably around the same age, buddy. I'm kidding. No, I'm probably twice his age. I'm Asian. I look young. Sorry. Guys, my name is Andy. I have the privilege of serving on the teaching team here as well as the ushering team. If you've ever sat here wondering, hey, how can I get involved in church? Please come speak to one of the deacons. We've got some great opportunities for you to get involved in. Like today, you're going to see our children's ministry, their Christmas program. It's all volunteer driven. And if you love working with kids, then I highly encourage you to take some time out of your week and really think about serving in that capacity. Or if you love giving high fives, which I do, then join the ushering team because literally you're high-fiving so much your hand gets sore by the end of the Sunday. If you're new here, if this is your first time with us here at CCC, we're actually in the middle of our Advent series called, I'm calling my message today a Song of Christmas. I actually didn't run this by the team yet. But you know what? We're calling it a song. Songs of Christmas. How's that? We're really just looking through the first couple chapters of Luke. And through the past couple weeks, we've looked at and learned about people like Joseph and Mary, Zachariah and Elizabeth, and really just talking about everything that happened prior to the birth of Christ. And today we find ourselves at the end of chapter 1 in Luke. So I want to start off by reading what Colin just read. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to your Bible. If not, I have it on the screen here as well. This is the NIV version. So it says this: His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. He's speaking about John the Baptist, his son, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Amen. What a great song, right? What an amazing song that Zechariah sung. I personally believe that songs have a profound effect on us as human beings. I think that's why we love music so much, because it affects us in such a deep level. And I mean, how many of you guys have a breakup song, huh? How many of you guys, yeah? I'm looking at the parents who have probably gone through one or two breakups. I know for myself, I have a song that I listen to for probably, I don't know, a month straight, singing it very passionately, thinking the person that broke my heart standing right in front of me. You know, I have those songs. I have happy songs. How many of you guys have happy songs? Yeah, anybody? Happy songs. You listen to it, literally the first line, and you're just like, oh my goodness, I am super happy right now. Thank you, Pharrell. I don't know. Maybe some of you guys don't know that song. Or what about workout songs? I see a lot of fit people in here, a lot of people that work out. So maybe you got a playlist that you listen to every time you work out. For me, I've got a list of, like, probably right now I'm really into K-pop. I don't know. It's just me. BTS has got me right now. So I've got probably like 5 songs that I run through. Thanks, sis. You're awesome. You're awesome. I've got about 5 songs that I run through from BTS that I listen to, and I feel like it makes me run harder, jump higher, and lift more, or at least that's what I tell myself. So I think music has a crazy way of affecting us, and that's why I think we really need to look at this song that Zechariah is singing at the end of chapter 1, okay? But before we do a little detailed dive into the song, let's do a recap of who Zechariah was. So he was a priest, okay? He was married to Elizabeth, who was also the daughter of a priest, so that's good. They know how each other's lives work. They were old and had no children, which meant probably a lot of tears and a lot of prayers prayed that they probably felt like was unheard. Because they were so old, they didn't have a child. And then what happened? Zechariah, doing his priestly duties, Archangel Gabriel comes to him and said, check it out, you're going to have a kid, you're going to name him John. And then what does Zechariah do? He said, you crazy? No, I'm not, we're old. And then what happens is Zechariah, his mouth gets shut. And then for 9 months, pretty much the entire term of the pregnancy, he can't speak. So then what happens, and this is where we get to at the end of Luke 1. So today what we're reading is actually the first words recorded coming out of Zechariah's mouth. And crazy enough, his first words were what? Praise the Lord. I don't think I would have said that. If God closed my mouth for 9 months, I don't know if I'd be like, praise the Lord. Any of you guys ever had your wisdom teeth removed? Yeah. Yeah, my mouth was shut for about a week. I drank Jell-O for about a week. I didn't get to eat anything. I couldn't speak. And at the end of that week, I don't know, and I mean, I'm not. Some of you guys might be more spiritual than me. I don't think praise the Lord were the first words that came out of my mouth. But thankfully, Zechariah, he is a very spiritual man. And so what I'd like to do is actually just make 3 observations about this song that's so packed full of deep truths and showing one amazing reality that we all get to experience now, and it's just that God has at long last come. Faith has finally become sight, and Zechariah pours out this song from his heart, you know, about the purpose and the meaning of God. So the first observation I'd like to make is this. This song is a song with a saving purpose. It's literally littered throughout the entire passage. So verse 68, we see that he has come to his people and redeemed them. So he's speaking about the price to free us has already been paid. God visited us, emphasizing his care for us. He has drawn near to us, and the reason he came is to redeem us, is to rescue us, and it was at a high cost. I'm sure many of us have heard, even if you're not a believer or a follower of Jesus, I'm sure you've heard John 3:16, so for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. You know, so it was an extreme cost for our salvation. You know, verse 69, he has raised up a horn of salvation And all that's really saying is the power to accomplish salvation is God and God's alone. There's nothing we can do. I mean, I hope nobody's here under the impression that we can save ourselves. Because if you are, then you might be lying to yourself. And the horn is an animal symbol of its strength. It's brute force. So it really means, and I'm so glad my wife Michaela brought up the verse at the end of Advent. You know, we have a mighty Savior who has the power to finish what he starts in us. And then at verse 71, continuing on from the horn of salvation, salvation from our enemies and from all those who hate us. And it's actually, again, emphasized in verse 74. The victory over our enemy is already assured. So I don't know if some of you guys might be going through, feeling down or maybe being like, I'm not too sure. Just know, you already have victory. You already have victory. You don't need to worry about it. You just got to do. You just got to go and follow. That's all you got to do. That's our response, or at least that should be our response. I know I fail at that a lot of times, but just know you already have victory. All you got to do is follow. And then later on at the end, verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. All our sins have been erased. It's already guaranteed. Zechariah is telling us God didn't just come to this planet for the sake of visiting us, just like, hey, hi guys, how you doing? No. He came. He knew what was going on. He knew we were dead in our sins already, and that's why he came and paid such an extreme cost for our salvation. So that's my first observation. This song has a saving purpose. The second observation I'd like to make is this is a song of empowerment. And I'm just going to stop here. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as a Pentecostal pastor before I came here, I feel like it's my duty and obligation to speak on this just for at least a minute. I don't think we often talk about this enough, but do you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, do you know that the Spirit that raised God from the dead lives inside of you right now? Do you know that you are a holy temple where the Holy Spirit lives and resides in you? So the power that raised Christ from the grave lives inside of you, and yet I still have days where I'm just like, oh my goodness, I have to teach kindergarten today? Ugh! Guys, we have those thoughts, and I'm not trying to, like, guilt you or anything. We always have those days where we're just like, oh my goodness, I really don't want to do this. I really feel like, X, Y, Z. But just know, if you believe, if you truly have faith in Christ, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that, please. If ever, like, anything else, you want to tone me out, you want to fall asleep right now until the kids come, totally. But don't forget that. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Back to Zechariah. And if you want to know more, if you're like, oh man, I want to learn more about the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, Romans 8. Go to Romans 8. Gives you a great insight into what life in the Spirit is like. So back to Zechariah. So he's talking about the Messiah bringing salvation to us. But what does salvation mean? He's talking about salvation is a life of holy service to God. Now, contrary to what we might believe, salvation isn't all about us. Salvation isn't about our happiness and all of that. The Christian life, it is a happy life. It's a blessed life. There's trials, ups, and downs. But it's a happy life because of what God has done for us. And because of what he's done for us, we live a life of servanthood to him and to others. Because what does he command us to do? The greatest commandment? Love God, love others. Love God, love others. He saved us so that we might glorify him, as our joy in him overflows into a life of holy service. Love God, love others. And if you have an issue with that, I mean, I'm just the messenger. You take it up with Jesus. Because even in Mark 10, what did he say? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. right? So we really need, if you're sitting here today and you're just like, man, I'm just going to come to church, I'm going to leave, I'm not going to do anything, I don't really, you know, I don't want to do none of that. Let me, what's the right word here? Let me challenge, thank you, Roger. Let me challenge and encourage you that's not what the Christian life is about. You can't, like, well, you can, you just have to answer to God one day, but you just can't come and sit and then go home, you know, and live your week to week like it's just, oh, you know what, I know Jesus and that's it. No, like, our life is not our own anymore. Our life is not our own, and God not only encourages but commands us to live our life in servanthood to God and to others. So that's the second observation. The first one is the song has a saving purpose. The second one, the song is a song of empowerment. And the last is this. The song is a song with an eternal impact. Zechariah refers to the Savior in a song as the sunrise from on high. It's actually a reference to Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And even Jesus himself claimed, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what I love about Zechariah's song here at the end is he ends with three really beautiful pictures. The first is actually this. It's a dawn of heavenly sunlight. In verse 78, it says, the dawn from on high will visit us. So the sun has broken the horizon on this dark world. The second picture in verse 79, the shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death. When Christ comes, this picture of someone who's hopeless, sitting in the dark, like as far from human rescue as possible, and in an instant, Christ comes, and there's light, and there's hope. And then the last picture is in the second part of verse 79, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Isn't that what we all want? Peace? I realize I've just been going on this side this entire time, and I haven't come on this side. I apologize. peace, like, that's what we all want, right? Like, who wants fear and anxiety here? Anybody want worry? Anybody want pain here? Nah, we all want peace, right? We all want peace, and that's what Jesus offers. We can't find peace on our own. Only God can lead us to peace. Only Christ can lead us on that path. So that's the difference that Jesus Christ makes. When he comes into your life, darkness gone. When he comes into your life, the bondage that was holding you down, broken. When he comes into your life, worry, pain, anxiety, all those are very real things, but our eyes, when we keep our eyes on him, he leads us. He leads us on this path of peace. That is the unmatched impact of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in closing, I don't want to take up too much time because, you know, we got an amazing Christmas program by the children's ministry. So in closing, I just want to just recap real quick. The song that Zechariah was singing is a song with a saving purpose. It's a song of empowerment, and it's a song with an eternal impact. So my challenge is this. For those of us in here who know Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus, like, what song are we going to sing this holiday season? Are we going to sing a song and listen to the songs of, ooh, I need this, I want that. Oh, I need my Christmas tree to look like this, and oh, I need my party to look like that. Or are we going to sing a song like Zechariah, where he started off with, what was the first three words he said? Praise the Lord. I wonder what our posture is going to be like this holiday season. And then for those who may, you know, you might not know who Christ is or ever made that choice to have a relationship with Jesus, can I just ask our deacons to stand up real quick? Yeah, we probably got four of them. Graham's up top, Charisma. Yeah, so I want you guys to just look around. If you have never made that decision to follow Christ or begin a journey with him, I want you, after the service, please come find myself, come find the deacons. We'd love to answer any questions you may have, or even if you want to pray a prayer receiving Christ, I'm sure these deacons, our leaders of the church, would love to lead you in that prayer. So all that to say, Jesus is awesome. That's what, it's the reason for this season. I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard that cliche. Cliches are there for a reason because it's true. So, you know, it's Jesus is the reason for the season. That's really it. So let's look at the song that Zechariah sang and let it encourage and remind us just of what the reason for the season is all about. Will you close your eyes as we close in prayer? Lord, we're so thankful for today. We're so thankful for the season of Advent, just the arrival of Jesus. As we look forward in anticipation, I pray that we don't forget what the reason for the season is, and that's you, Lord, coming to our mess, into our lives, into our sin, into whatever we're facing, and giving us hope, giving us salvation, giving us victory. And so, Lord, today we're so thankful for we're able to put our trust in you. We're so thankful that we get to rely on you. We're so thankful that we have hope in our lives and that we can have peace. So, Lord, as we continue on this week, continue on this season, let us not forget the reason for the season. And Lord, I give thanks for the children's ministry. We give thanks for all their hard work and what they're going to, their performance today. I pray that you bless them, bless it, and I pray that we can just enjoy this amazing next part of our service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.